Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Look, if this was still prime Justin Tucker as kicker, they'd be the favorites. Maybe they should be. Well, Philly gets a little respect, mm-hmm. You know, being the Super Bowls multiple times the last few years. But you get the point. This team's loaded. And a guy that's seen him up close and personal, he's our colleague here, 105.7 The Fan. Fresh Take Sports is the show. Let's welcome back and bring in our buddy Cordell Woodland. Cordell, what's happening, man?
What's going on?
All right. I mean, you followed football for a long time, and you certainly have been on the Ravens beat for a few years. As we look at them, like tail of the tape boxing style. Tail of the tape says the strengths are how much, and if we can find a weakness, where is it right now?
Well, they've got a lot of strengths. We've got maybe the best player in football playing quarterback for them right now. Got a generational running back. Got the best wide receiver crew that I think this franchise has had. You look at the O-line, most of those guys are coming back, and they got better as the year went on, and the tight end room is really good. Defense, they added. Didn't really lose anything on the defensive side of the ball. So, and another year for Zach Orr's defensive coordinator, you expect that he'll pick up kind of where he left off last year. So, I mean, it feels like they don't have many weaknesses right now. I don't think the regular season Ravens have a lot of weaknesses. Now, I will say, I don't think a lot of us saw them struggling with the penalties last year going into the year the way that they did. So there will be some of those unknowns that creep up throughout the year that maybe we didn't see coming. But as I look at them today, I don't see a reason why this isn't a team that shouldn't look like one of the, if not the best team in football during the regular season.
Hey, Cordell, we were talking about it yesterday, and me, Bob, and Nolan, who do you think leads the team in sacks?
I could see Owe, you know, it's a contract year, and players of all sports, it seems like when they are in a contract year, they just get the strength of Thor or something, and they just become something we haven't seen. So he had his first double-digit sack last year. I like the weight that he's put on this year. I think he's a really smart guy. I think he can play. It's just taken him some time to really be able to flash and make it some of these, you know, game-changing plays. And maybe that's what we get out of him this year, but I could see it being Owe. He definitely has the potential to do it, to build on last year. That's probably as far as it goes for me. That off the top of my head, I think it's Owe. I think that if there's anybody that takes a step back this year, I could see Van Noy this probably being the year where Father Time gets him. And look, I could be wrong, but at some point, I think at this position, it does creep up on you. And we'll see if it's this year. I'm hesitant to say Madubuike just because it's so tough to do from the interior. I know he's done it before. Had a really great year in there, but I don't know. I got to see it again.
And then the other question we had, Cordell, was who's going to lead the team in interceptions?
Interceptions? That's a good one. Nate's a sneaky one.
That's what Bob said.
He's a sneaky one. I think he's a guy that wants to – I think that's something he definitely wants to do this year. And as the year went on last year, he started to become more and more aggressive going after the football. And so I think he's one to look at. Maybe Malachi back there.
That was my choice.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have a couple of candidates. Obviously, I just – and I think I brought this up when you asked me a week or so ago about Kyle Hamilton being a defensive player of the year. And it's like, I think he has to put up godly stats to do that. And I don't know if that's like Hamilton is a great player. I think he could be the best defensive player in football. but I don't know if his stats will always indicate that. I think he does a lot of things that don't necessarily show up on the stat sheet. So I don't know if he'll lead the team in interception just because he's a guy I'm sure every quarterback is looking to see where is 14. So those would be my two guys. I would go with the young guys, Nate and Malachi.
I tell you what, just watching Malachi out there, he doesn't seem like a rookie to me, Cordell. I mean, like the range that he shows and stuff and how smart he is. And like when they use him, you know, blitz and do those, he just seems like natural, calm, cool, collective. And he knows what he's doing, it seems like, all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I said it yesterday to somebody. I just said he blends in. Mm-hmm. He just blends in. He doesn't really, you know, look like the rookie out there. He looks like he's one of the guys. He looks like he's been there before. And when I had asked him, when we spoke to him at the end of OTAs last week, I asked him about, you know, practicing like a pro, because that's something Harbs always talks about. These guys having to, that's one of the things they have to learn, is learning how to practice as a professional. And he talked about just, you know, coming from Georgia and that already being the expectation. And he just seems very polished with everything that he does, when he talks, how he plays, how he walks off the field, you know. And so I think they got a really good one with him, because he seems like he'll – I anticipate him to be ready for almost anything they throw at him.
Cordell, when I was watching the receiving group yesterday, I was really impressed. D-Hop looks faster and smoother to me and quicker in and out of cuts than I remember him like at Kansas City last year. And Zay is quick as hell in and out of Zay looks awesome to me.
Yeah, Zay is he's just a cat out there, honestly. He's just running all over the field. And at this point, I feel like I've maybe gotten used to it, and maybe I shouldn't. You know, maybe I shouldn't. I don't want to take it for granted at all. But yeah, you do. It's easy to take for granted just how quickly he moves out there, how fluid he is. And Rashad Bateman, I think it was Jeff Zreback, it was just Bateman just ran a route down the field, and he was just in awe. Like, man, Bateman is just, he's just so fluid in everything that he does. He's just a natural athlete, and that's exactly what he is. And D-Hop, man, D-Hop is, he's just a freak. I just think Lamar was talking about the play that he made in the shallow where he just one-handed it and kind of almost went down to the ground and turned upfield. I mean, D-Hop is a seasoned vet that has made every play you could make at a wide receiver. He's as consistent as they come. I just think they're in a really good situation with him. And look, we say this all the time. I feel like they're one of the most boring teams, because they are so stacked and they don't have many holes. But for whatever reason, you get to the back end of the year and you're scratching your head at the team you're watching. Hopefully that's not the case this year.
Now, Cordell, another guy that impresses me, Mike Green, to me, is just watching him do drills, and that he is the most natural rusher they got. And Cordell, I said the pass rusher wise, I thought he could get, you know, 8 to 10 sacks, you know, this year. I just think he's natural. You know, his handwork is so fluid and so quick, and his counters and stuff. I just think he's really, and we hadn't even seen the spin move that he's really good at either yet.
Yeah, he has a little bit of kind of how I said Malachi just blends in. Mike Green has done that a little bit too with a lot of the veteran guys. He is like, just like I said, how they walk off the field for whatever reason. It just looks like he's been around for a little bit, but I'm curious to see what his year looks like. I think a lot of it will depend on how much he actually plays. I think he should play a lot. And talking, I remember asking Harbs the night that they drafted him, does he see him and Malachi being instant impact players? And he said yes. So I expect him to get a clear runway, at least in passing down situations.
Yep.
I would imagine he's going to be on the field. So I'm curious to see what it looks like for him. He's one of those guys that I'm holding out my judgment right now, because I want to wait until training camp when they put on the pads and they're doing the one-on-ones and they are able to get into a little more of a fight in the trenches to see what he looks like when he's going up against guys like Ronnie Stanley over there on the left side. So I definitely have my eye on him, but you could see him flashing with some of his quickness. And for me, the thing that I have noticed about him is his get off the line of scrimmage. That is definitely elite.
12 sacks, Cordell Woodley. Fresh Take Sports. When's next Fresh Take there, Cordell?
Tonight. Tonight. We'll be on after BBT from 7 to 9 tonight. So we'll be recapping the Orioles game last night, getting the win. We'll see if they win game 3 tonight. We'll be talking about the NBA Finals, of course. Game 5 was on Monday night. So we'll recap that. And, of course, a lot of Ravens sound. I'll be at minicamp today as that wraps up, so we'll have plenty to get to.
Cordell Woodley, Fresh Take Sports tonight with Ben Hall, as you heard. Cordell, appreciate it as always. Have fun at One Winning Drive, and I'll see you down at Pickles next week.
Yes, sir.
You got it. Cordell Woodley, everybody. We'll come back. It's the Whip Around. What happened in the world of sports last night? Well, a champion was crowned on the ice, and the more things change, the more they stay the same, I guess. We'll get into other news of the day. And this day in Orioles history, it is June the 18th, and obviously we only talk about when they win.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw, Orioles and Rays tonight, 7:35. Game 3 of this 4-game set. Talk about that with Jim Hunter in the next hour. NBA Finals resume tomorrow night. Talk about that with Walt Williams coming up here in a couple of minutes. The Ravens are back on the practice field today, last day of mandatory minicamp, and then it's a long break before training camp 2025. But there were some things that happened in said world of sports, including the Stanley Cup Finals, Game 6 in Florida. Panthers trying to become the first team since Tampa Bay 4 or 5 years earlier to go back-to-back. And spoiler alert, they did.
Drysdale works it back. Now across from Ekholm to Bouchard. Reinhardt with the steal. Nice move. Close to the net. Scores! Panther perfection. The Florida Panthers win their second consecutive Stanley Cup.
Kenny Albert, TNT on the call. 5-1, Vinny. Final score as Florida hoist the cup for the second straight year. They've been to 3 straight Stanley Cups, and I know dynasty is a word we throw around a little bit, and with free agency and everything else that goes on in professional college sports, you know, I mean, this is about as close as you can get nowadays, I would assume.
Yeah, and they got 3 free agents. They got Marshawn Bennett and one of the defensemen that are free agents. If they get all them back, they'll run it back again, and they'll be good again. And, Bob, what did we talk about yesterday? The biggest thing that Edmonton had to do to win that game last night, score first. 4 minutes into the game, they give the puck away, you know, and Sam Reinhart scores his first of 4. So it looked like they were deflated, because then Tkachuk scored with like 40 seconds left in the period to make it 2-0 after 1. And then it just seemed like no. And the refs were calling no penalties. I mean, Bob, no team had a power play. None. No power plays. You know, so there was a couple at the end of the game where Evander Kane, which was a total cheap. He just comes over, Bob, with his stick and whacks Tkachuk. You know, and he gets kicked out.
Somebody's got to pay.
Yeah, he gets kicked out of the game. But Florida, Skinner wasn't great for Edmonton, the goalie. That's who ended up starting. Bob was spectacular in net for Florida, and they were the better team. I mean, Bob, they blew them out in three games. There was, what, 3 overtime games and 3 blowout games, and Florida was by far the better team, and they deserved to win, and I think they're still partying. I mean, they were partying in the locker room, then they were going to the elbow room, wherever that is, and then, you know, last year, Tkachuk took the cup to the beach. Didn't realize he wasn't supposed to be out in the water with the cup. But, yeah, they are a hell of a hockey team.
Now, for Edmonton, you've lost back-to-back Stanley Cup Finals, and you're so close. By the way, a a Canadian-based team. It's not won since 93.
Yeah, and
when Montreal beat the Kings with Barry Melrose in the great one.
The thing with Edmonton, Bob, is you got the two best scorers in the league. You got two of the best players in the league, you know, and they never really got to play their game because they were behind. They were outscored 13-4 in the first period, so they were behind all the time.
In one of the games they won, they were winning losing 3-3.
Yeah. So they need more depth, more scoring depth, and they've got to be able to play their Florida played their game the whole time because they were ahead over 240 minutes throughout the playoffs or throughout the series there. So Edmonton's got to get more depth scoring. They don't have many draft picks. They're going to have to do it in free agency and stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see, but it's frustrating for Edmonton. You know, I mean, McDavid and Draisaitl couldn't even get going. They couldn't get anything going because Florida gets up and then all of a sudden the ice shrinks, you know, and Edmonton, they're hitting McDavid and Draisaitl and they're not getting any shots on goal. So they make it really, really difficult for Edmonton.
What's next in the hockey calendar now
the draft,
that the season
next
is
Friday. Well, like the NBA draft is Thursday, you said, Bob?
Yeah, next Wednesday.
Wednesday. And then the Wednesday, Thursday, is it, NBA?
Yeah, it's two rounds now.
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday. Hockey's Friday, Saturday. And then free agency starts July 1st. So this is a huge, these next 2 weeks, huge for hockey.
What about Charlie Serrato? What's going on in his world next couple of weeks?
Here? Yeah, he's interviewing with Colorado Avalanche today. And he's projected to go probably in the second or third round right now, and that would be Saturday, and that starts around noon on Saturday.
By the way, speaking of the NBA draft, Jimmy Patsos will be joining me on the 26th, which is a week from tomorrow. And we could have a lot of special guests on that day, so stay tuned. You don't want to miss that one. It's the Whip Around Video and Haney 105.7 The Fan. This day in Orioles history. June 18th. How about 2014? Down at the Trop. Steve Pierce went two for four, with a ribby. Nelson Cruz went yard. Kevin Gausman goes six strong. Shutout innings with five Ks. Zach Britton picked up his ninth save. Orioles beat the Rays 2-0. 2016, Oriole Park Camden Yards against the Blue Jays. Scopolo, 3-for-4. Homer, three runs scored. Ivani Gallarda. Wow. I remember that guy. He's one of them. He got the win. Zach Britton picked up his 21st save in one of the great years a closer will ever have. And then 2 years ago at Wrigley Field, I was at two of those games 2 years ago. And Rashawn, I ran into him on the Sunday game.
Dustin wasn't with him, too,
was he? No, because my cousin Al is Dustin on steroids. So that wouldn't have worked well. But went to two games. The Orioles lost them both. The game they won, I was already out of Chicago, but they won this day 2 years ago, 6-3 over the Cubs. Tony Taters goes yard. Ramon Urias picked up a couple of ribbies. Dean Kramer got the win. And Felix Bautista, his 19th save. Orioles beat Chicago 6-3. Orioles tonight taking on the Rays, 7:35. BBT coming up at 6. We'll talk to Jim Hunter about the Orioles at 12:30. But coming up next, NBA Finals, Game 6 tomorrow. Indiana trying to stay alive against OKC. And we'll talk about that draft with the Wizard. Lottery pick himself, Walt Williams, next. Here.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
On the Fan. But anyway, we digress. Joining us now to talk about the NBA Finals and beyond. A lot of controversy with the officiating. Played in the NBA playoffs many times. He's a Maryland legend. He's our friend. He's on the Maryland Radio Network. He's clutch with the booze, and we'll get to that. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's the Wizard, Walt Williams. Walt, what's up?
How you doing, brother?
All right, dude. I appreciate the time, as always. And let's go back to Game 4. Where OKC was down double digits. They're down 2-1 in the series. Then a lot of drama, Walt, about the officiating. Scott Foster in particular, which even led Rick Carlisle to say, hey, man, you need to pump the brakes on drilling this guy a little bit. But, I mean, you played in the league, and you've seen the Steve Javies of the world and all these other goofballs that have come around, Dick Pavetta's. When you watch the finals, do you see things change in regards to favoritism, ineptness? I mean, how much of the finals been influenced by the officiating, in your opinion?
I don't think much. I think for the most part, the officials are letting these guys play very physical. It reminds me a little bit of, you know, back in my day, how we played during the regular season. And so I think it makes for very entertaining basketball. I think that's why the playoffs has been so good this year, is that, you know, you're not having the refs calling ticky-tack fouls and having them take control of the game. I think they're allowing the players to do that. So, you know, of course, there are going to be mistakes made here and there. But I think overall, I think they've been letting both sides be very physical.
All right. Well, where are you on the Tyrese Halliburton train here? And the guy's got four buzzer beaters to win games, including the first game of this particular series. Then he's had some duds in between. Now he's got a strained calf. Don't even know if he's even going to play tomorrow night, and we've talked about it with you. Is he a superstar? Is he a star? Where is he in the echelon of, you know, NBA guys right now? So watching his playoff performance and so far what's happened with him in the finals, how does Walt Williams feel about Tyrese Halliburton when we talk about the greats of the game currently and how his image, legacy, et cetera, might be affected one way or another by what we've seen?
Well, I think that throughout this regular season and then the playoffs, it just stamped it, put the cherry on top of it, on top of the sundae. I think that he's crossed over into that superstar status. I think that he's probably, if you mention the number of superstars that's in this league right now, he's probably, you know, it's a pecking order, whatever category you're going to have. And he's probably at the bottom of the superstar, but I think he has crossed over from being a star to a superstar, according to, you know, just the games he's taken over and won for them. And you can just see when he's not balling and he's not in a flow, the team suffers. You know, they have so many guys that can contribute, but it seems like he's the biggest key to unlocking the key for everyone. Having said that, I thought last night he was a step slower. You can see that he wasn't himself. He didn't have the burst. When McConnell was in the game, he had a lot more effect on the game. So, you know, last night, I think, previous night, I think that McConnell should have been a guy who should have played more minutes. It seemed like he was impacting the game more, and Halliburton was a little gimpy out there.
Now, Walt, for the Thunder, a guy that had a positive impact in game five was former Terp Aaron Wiggins. He comes out banging some threes. And look, his minutes have been a little spotty here in the postseason, but he had the big game in game two, big game in game five. And we've talked with you about this one as well. First came in, played for our boy Keith Gatlin in high school. I mean, Terps brought him in. Maybe one of the great dunks, even Walt Williams-level dunk in that Notre Dame game many years ago down at the Xfinity Center. But when you watch him and the niche that he has carved out for himself, did you see him when he's a skinny freshman coming out of North Carolina evolving into a guy that's 48 minutes away from picking up a world championship ring here?
Well, yeah, you know, I mentioned this to you before. I remember when Wiggins first came to the University of Maryland, I had a conversation with Keith Gatlin, and he was just talking about the tools this kid had and combined with the size, and he thought that he was going to have a great chance to be a pro. And then seeing him play over those few years, you can see, I thought to myself that he would be a pro. I thought he'd be a better pro than he was a college player. He, you know, in terms of being a champion, that's just a matter of, that's the luck of the draw.
Right.
You know, he's on a team that has SGA, MVP of the league. Jalen Williams has been sensational overall. This team has been lights out on the defensive end to the likes of what we haven't seen in a long time. And so all of those combined factors is why they are where they are. And so, you know, Aaron is a contributing factor to that. He has come off the bench and giving them a spark in a couple of games. And, you know, they need that. They need their bench play. Indiana is showing that they can wear this team down if the bench is not going to be productive. So it's going to be important that the OKC bench continues to contribute like that.
The Wizard Walt Williams joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NBA Finals Game 6 tomorrow night. How do the Thunder finish them off? Will this thing go to a Game 7?
Man, to me, I think Indiana is the better offensive team. You know, OKC, like I just mentioned, they are lights out on the defensive end, but it just seems like the Pacers can still catch fire and make shots even in the face of what they're doing on the defensive end. I think what Indiana is in turn doing on the defensive end is creating opportunities as well, getting them into transition and allowing them to find each other. Indiana, they are a fantastic passing team, so they typically find that guy who is open when you haven't rotated appropriately. Having said that, I think OKC is the team. They are the better team because of collectively what they can do on a consistent basis defensively, and then they have the X factor, I think, SGA, and then the way Jalen Williams has been playing as of late. I mean, that guy has been incredible, and I think it's going to take that type of effort because Indiana has so many guys that they can throw at SGA to wear him down. It seems like those same guys, they can't guard Jalen Williams as effective. He's a little bit bigger and stronger, and he seems to take advantage of those guys a bit more. So he's going to have to continue to be aggressive and be a guy who can score for them. So I think it's going to be a tough game tomorrow. I think in the end, I think the Pacers win that game tomorrow, and I think it goes to a Game 7 where I think OKC pulls that out.
Hey, Walt, the NBA draft's next Wednesday. Derek Queen. How does his game translate to the NBA, and who's a good fit for him in the draft next Wednesday?
Man, I think with all the tools that Derek possesses, I think that he's a fit for any team that drafts him. I think that he can play in a situation where it's up-tempo, half court. I think he's a guy who's going to get stronger so he can guard, being able to defend better. Offensively, the way he can handle the ball, I think just gives you another dimension. He has to increase his ability to shoot the ball from the outside. But, hey, when it becomes his job, I think that'll happen pretty quickly. He's a guy with a great work ethic. So I think that he'll be an asset to any team that drafts him. And I think that he certainly should be a lottery pick. Just the tools that he has, the pace that he play with, and just, like I said, the effect that he has on the game. You know, when he can rebound the ball, when you have a guy that can rebound the ball and then push it without having to outlet it to the point guard, that gives you a serious advantage in transition. You see that with the Denver Nuggets, when you can have a guy who can grab the ball off the boards and then he can see the floor like a point guard, that's a serious advantage. And I think that Derek has that similar skill set that he can bring to the table. Like I said, when he's able to shoot that three-point shot consistently or even more consistently than he does now, I mean, it's just going to open up the game so much more for him.
All right, Walt. Say Walt Williams is about to win the NBA championship. You're looking for a celebratory drink. Where are you going?
Oh, man, if I was winning the NBA championship, I would just be on 9, you know. So, but, of course, we're going to go get that Clutch Vodka, that's gluten-free, no sugar, no carbs. Of course, it's organically filtered. We partner with One Maryland Collective, the NIL at University of Maryland, to give a portion to them of our sales. We thought it would be a cool way for the community to get involved in impacting the caliber athlete the University of Maryland recruits in all sports, men and women. So follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Clutch Vodka. Follow me on Instagram, Facebook at WaltTheWizard42. And check us out on our website, www.clutchspirits.com, for locations near you that sell Clutch Vodka.
Walt Williams, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely, brother.
Thanks, Walt.
You got it. He's the Wizard, Walt Williams. We'll come back reset for you. We got news from the Nest coming up top of the hour. We're going to hear from Lamar Jackson for the first time in a long time as he met with the media yesterday. Let's count some midweek money. Hopefully buy or sell. We'll talk about the Orioles. Clean game last night. Convincing win. Strong win. Jim Hunter, we're going to get his thoughts on the team. 10 games under 500, 6 out of the wild card, and all the other stuff we get into. Orioles trying to win this game, which would at least ensure a series split. Trevor Rogers, we'll get back to that one. But Jim Hunter will be joining us as well and probably get to the funhouse at 12:45 because we're up against it here. Going into the noon hour. But Nolan McGraw, what is going on? How you feeling? How's your woman crush Wednesday?
It's going well. Feeling good. As far as the Orioles,
yes.
Earlier in the show, a lot of talk about Kobe Mayo, Heston Kerstad. We've been talking about him a lot this entire season. Get him more play time. Starting to lose a little faith or a little patience, maybe would be the better word, with Heston Kerstad here. If I could try to defend Heston Kerstad, although I will say it's an uphill battle right now with the way he's been playing. His first 31 games, which is what Kobe Mayo's played here. Little stat comparison. Mayo's first 31 games. 0 homers, 2 RBIs, 36 strikeouts, 9 walks. Kerstad's first 31 games. 5 homers, 15 RBIs, 26 strikeouts, 8 walks. Way more productive right from the jump. I could argue that he deserved more playing time when he first came up in 2023. Roster crunch, crowded outfield, all that stuff, it worked against him. But even still, he was always reduced to, oh, you get a pinch hitting opportunity here, maybe one start a week, then he'd be lucky to get that. And if he produced, there was no follow-up. Hey, right back to the bench for another 3-4 days in a row. I mean, it wasn't long ago when we were screaming, play Heston Kerstad more. Now, to be fair, he's actually had more of a real opportunity this year because of injuries to others, not making the most of it. Last year, though, right around that 31-game mark, batting 300 on the season, producing. Couple days later, what happens? Gets hit upside the head by the Yankees. Can't control that, just like he couldn't control the myocarditis, which maybe cost him an opportunity to debut. Heck, even 2 years sooner, at least 1 year, and that's being generous. So I would say the jury is still out on Kerstad.
Okay.
It doesn't help that he's 26, right? And Dylan Carlson's also 26. You know, you start getting into comparisons and everything. But it's just way too soon. Just like it's way too soon to say anything about Kobe Mayo. But because he strings a couple good series together, all of a sudden he's the new hero and he's got to play every day.
I'm just saying. With Heston Kerstad, and I said it last week, if Heston Kerstad played outfield like Dylan Carlson, he'd still be on the team.
Yep.
So if you're Scuffle City at the plate, which he was, and you're a liability defensively, you're not helping the cause right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the Orioles basically explained that to him. Go down and get he was 0 for 5 with 4 Ks last night for Norfolk. He's in 100. So right now, as Ryan Ripken would say, he's domed up. Got to get out of it. Kobe Mayo, all right, he's probably like clutching the bat, sitting, you know, tapping his cleats. I want to get in there. So, like we talked about earlier, and me and Jeremy were talking in the turnover here, Joe's, and get him some swings. I know Taj Bradley's pitching, but, you know, get in there, take a couple hacks at the plate. You know, don't let him sit for 3 days. You get a little mold on him. Get out there and, you know, because it's hot, get that sweat pumping. And let's see what he can bring to the equation. Because sooner or later, at some point in his career, he's going to have to face right-handed pitching. I mean, he can't be just that guy.
That's a whole other Orioles organization.
Oh, well, yeah. And I hear what you're saying. But Kerstad had a fair opportunity. Kowser was out for 2 months. O'Neill's been on the IL 3 times. Sed was on the IL. He got at-bats. And he seemed to regress more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, defensively, too, because you're absolutely right. You can't ignore the defense. But I thought at times last year, they even threw him in left field a few times, and he wasn't terrible. I mean, maybe I'm grading on a curve with him, but I felt like he showed himself a little bit more capable defensively in 23 and last year than he did this year. This year, it was like, you never played baseball in your life.
Yeah.
And you know, Elias.
Hell, he put Mateo on the IL, ran it in.
That's confidence. True. I don't think he has any confidence in the outfield.
Could be.
Don't hit it to me. Don't hit it
right.
to me.
Right. Yeah. If that's the case, guess what's happening? It's coming to you.
How about this, though? Maybe I don't see Dave Parker turning into, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give him a first baseman's mitt. Get to know this bag. Learn it.
Right.
Let it be your friend.
And Mayo,
I mean, don't think outfield's his future.
But defensively for both of them, Mayo and Kerstad, it should be a huge concern. And Elias can say that we're not willing to slot a 23 to 26-year-old in as a DH right away. Obviously, you wouldn't want to do that, but where's the development? Where is the defensive progression? Because like I just said, you could argue Kerstad was a better defensive player, limited sample size, the last 2 years than he was this year. Why is he going the wrong way? With more, in theory, what should be better coaching at the major league level. Man,
Brandon Hyde's fault. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Will come back. News from the Nest. Lamar Jackson. The only way he wants to go is to the Super Bowl. And he's going to talk about that and more as he met with the media yesterday. Let's count some midweek money, hopefully, by herself. Jim Hunter. Talk about these Orioles taking on the Rays tonight. Tampa right now only 2.5 games out of first as the Yankees can't score runs, literally. 29 straight innings without one. And then a Funhouse trip with Nolan, NFL lunch at 1 o'clock. ESPN's done something fun. The NFL all-quarter century team. Hmm. As we're in the year 2025. How many Ravens made it? A couple.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.